My parents were here visiting this weekend. One of the things my mom, who is a big Internet Friends listener and Inside Apple reader, needed to do was get a new iPad. So
what are we talking about? What's the initial iPad loadout?
She was going from an iPad Air 2,
okay,
which I believe is a 2014 device,
right,
to something new. So I decided immediately on the iPad Air 2019, which is a great device. I mean, bezels are still awful, but like it's big and nice and the screen is beautiful. So we ordered for her an iPad Air of current vintage in space gray at the local Apple store, and we went to pick it up, and I brought it back with her and we set it up, and I gave her sort of like modern iPad lessons, and it was great. So after that, we went for a walk, and she asked me how I think I self-rank in like knowledge about this kind of stuff. And I really got the sense that she was feeling like my rank is 100th percentile. Like I'm the world's foremost expert in personal computing devices. Mm-hmm. And I assured her that was not the case. And I thought about it for a few seconds. And the longer I thought about it, the more tiers above me I decided to add. And so I ended up saying I'm in the fourth highest tier. I used to be in the third, and I purposefully demoted myself. The third tier is people who use extensive, customizable third-party apps to do their stuff, because the stuff that's built in isn't good enough for them or isn't personalized enough for them or whatever it is. And I definitely used to consider myself a member of that category, but in recent years, I've knocked myself down to the fourth tier, which I've defined as expert user of the built-in stuff who avoids moving out of the stock options when at all possible. I was giving her a pretty good demonstration of what the iPad is capable of doing out of the box, but I did not suggest any third-party apps for her to use. And then above that, I placed two more tiers. The top being you're a programmer and you write your own apps to solve your own problems and you sideload them onto your device, which, you know, we all wish we were fluent enough to do that sort of thing, but that's not happening for me. And the second highest tier was the one that I had the hardest time explaining to her, but I also just had like the most negative reaction to, which is the automation junkies.
Okay.
So like going above and beyond just having customized third-party apps to like scripting and using shortcuts extensively to do all of your things, like tinker toying all of these automation tools together to create elaborate contraptions to solve your own problems. Now, I am a user of drafts, I admit it, but that's out of necessity, not out of desire. Like I don't like extending my capabilities with drafts. Like I don't actually want to add new features to it. And when I do, I'm like, this is how it works. I go to the directory and I steal somebody else's and I tweak it as little as possible. And then I'm done. And then I consider it finished.
Right.
I don't get any joy out of meticulously designing my own automation systems. And I certainly don't have any satisfaction as a user of shortcuts. And when my mom saw that there was an app installed on her new iPad called Shortcuts, she already knew that wasn't something she wanted to open. She was like, what is Shortcuts? I don't want this. I don't want anything to do with
this. Is it, I don't want this because it's scary, or I don't want this because why would I have this?
I mean, she has no idea what's inside. She has no idea what she will be presented with when she taps that icon and opens the Shortcuts app. She just knows, like, this thing is complicated enough as it is, and I only understand she only understands the basic level of it as it is. Like, there's a whole lifetime of things she could learn to do just out of the box, and, like, something called Shortcuts that suggests that there's, like, ways of extending the capabilities of it is just completely alien to her. And I had no compunction, just being like, yeah, you should delete that right now. Like, you don't want that. And I don't want it either. And I think that's what I want to talk about. Like, I do have a handful of shortcuts that I do use, but I sort of think of them all as like obvious low-hanging fruit system features that Apple just hasn't gotten around to yet. And I'm so excited for them to do it so that I can get rid of shortcuts. And like, the ideal world for me would be to have no shortcuts left so that I can delete the app.
All of your shortcuts, you're saying, are things that feel like they will eventually become features. And once they're features, you're not going back. You would never want to have your own custom version.
No, and I certainly wouldn't want to have icons on my home screen that just launch this like janky animation festival and then eventually do the thing that I want them to do. You know, like, I want the actual apps to do the actual things.
Right.
And shortcuts is just like a band-aid to me. And I have tried. There are other things I want my devices to do that I've tried to use shortcuts to make possible. And you can ask Matthew, because I always ask him for help with this. I would estimate that 9 out of 10 of my shortcuts ideas are impossible. Shortcuts is not capable of doing the things. And it's not like they're complicated things. Like, I'm not like outdoing the technical capabilities of shortcuts. It's just like some stupid thing that iOS doesn't do yet that shortcuts obviously should do, that either you set it up exactly the way you think it's going to work and it doesn't work, or there's just no way to do it. And I'm talking about things like switch between the Apple Music version of an album and the iTunes version of an album, like, so that you can buy it instead of stream it. There's no way to do that anymore. I made a shortcut that worked a few years ago and Apple broke it and has provided no way of fixing it. There is no URL difference between those two things. The URL in iTunes opens Apple Music if you follow it. And that's just like the example I can think of off the top of my head. There are so many. Like, I've got one to get the regular URL, like the web URL of an Apple News article instead of the Apple News URL. And that just barely works. It like doesn't work sometimes when I use that URL for certain things. Like, the title doesn't come in. It's, you know, like, it's not a satisfying, I might as well just hit the open in Safari button and copy the URL. Like, it's just as easy to deal with. And that's been my experience every time I've come up with something that I want shortcuts to do. So, you know, the few things that I've got, and like, I could look at them right now and tell you what they are. Yeah, they're nice to haves, but increasingly the system actually is taking over some of these things. Like, some of them are like downloading files and saving them to files, things like that from the web, I mean. And like, I haven't really played around with iOS 13 and iPadOS enough to know, but I feel like the browser just kind of does that now. So like, I can probably get rid of those. And that's what I want. I don't actually want to have shortcuts. I want the system to take over all of these jobs. And I can't think of anything like the idea of these ridiculous automation chains of like, when I leave my office, text my wife, my ETA automatically, and put my new podcasts on. Like, I don't ever have a life formulaic enough to come up with some like chain of automations for those kinds of things. And like, I have some lights and some routines for my lights at home, like we've talked about, but all of that works out of the box. Like, the home apps automation is plenty for me, and like calling it up in Siri works. So all of this is to say, I don't get the hype. And I really feel like a lot of people who spend their time thinking and talking about Apple stuff online are moving into this world of like, shortcuts is the future of everything. And I just am not interested. I'm just not. And I'm sorry that I am not, but I'm not.
I think it's interesting that you see the difference between you and the type of people who use shortcuts as two different tiers of users. Mm. And it seems sort of like you're seeing shortcuts users as power users, and you have demoted yourself from that power user status over the last few years of your life. And I sort of feel the same way. I think that there's a similarity to the type of people that are out there building crazy shortcuts. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, someone like Matthew, our friend of the show, Matthew, who is genuinely doing some fairly interesting, unique use cases with the shortcuts. Not saying that you would want to use those, but I'm saying they have their uses and implementations. Sure. I'm more thinking about the type of thing that you just talked about where somebody wants to have it so that when they get in their car, Siri says, good morning, and then it plays two clips of the news, and then it puts on a Spotify playlist, and then, you know, like, there are these weird things where people are getting crazy specific, and I look at them and think, that is very interesting, and I can't imagine ever using that once, and I certainly can't ever imagine using it twice. Like, there's just no way that that is actually a better experience than just using the phone as you would.
Yeah, with apps on your home screen, like the way they work normally.
Click Spotify, then click play. What it reminds me of is the crazy custom theming systems that I would see on like Windows Phone, you know, pre-iPhone type phones, where people would be out there like providing crazy looking phone skins. And you know, there would be 100 different types and there would be all these crazy custom versions. And I would look at those and think, I can't imagine putting that on my home screen. Like, there's no way that I actually want to turn my entire phone lime green or electric yellow or change the font to be, you know, like a fiery font or something. There is a certain aspect of shortcuts that feels like it's, they're doing it because they can, not doing it because it should be done. And that is unique because we're reaching that point where iOS as a platform is good enough. There really isn't a single shortcut that I would recommend every single person put on their phone. And in fact, you're correct. There are many people who I would just think should never touch shortcuts. Like, I don't know why they would. I think it would be a complication. Mm-hmm. And the fact that shortcuts don't 100% reliably work and they do break over updates and that type of thing, it just makes the whole experience not necessarily worthwhile for a certain type of user. And I think that you're self-selecting yourself to be in that user group for maybe the first time, which I think is kind of unique. But I can't imagine that you were ever the type of person that would be installing a Pikachu yellow theme on your, you know, your pre-iPhone phone. I don't think that was the type of person that you were.
Well, I didn't even want the first iPhone. Like, I wasn't convinced of its utility until way into the, you know, existence of the thing. So, like, yeah, I'm conservative in that.
Well, I mean, how about the Mac? Like, are you one of those people that put a bunch of weird third-party widgets on your home screen for the Mac? I feel like the answer is probably no.
No, I love Finder icons. I always had crazy icons, but that was as far as I ever wanted to go. And, like, that's not, you know, you can still do that. Like, as locked down as the Mac has become, like, you can still put icons on things. And that was as far as I needed to go.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Where there'd be these third-party apps, and then there would be all these, like, live widgets on the desktop itself. And you could have an iTunes player and the time and weather.
Yeah.
Those things always struck me as kind of superfluous. It was like, I never understood why I would want to have the time on my desktop when it was also in my menu bar, or why I really needed to have a weather widget on my desktop.
Yeah.
I am now realizing that living in Florida and now California, these are two places that don't really have that thing called weather.
Yeah.
But regardless, you know, the constant need to have a weather update on my desktop just never felt like a thing. And I kind of think that there's a certain person that just really appeals to. And I would imagine that the Venn diagram for people who liked that kind of thing and people who like building crazy shortcuts has a hearty overlap on it, you know?
Yeah.
And I never found myself in that former category, so I don't really find myself in this category either. I don't think that necessarily means that I'm a tier below. I just think that it means that I go about my computing in a different way. And there is something about that type of process that has never really appealed to me.
Yeah, but the hierarchy that I established, I may not really stand by. I still identify as a power user, to be sure, but it's a matter of just sort of trusting the design decisions presented to the, like, average user and trying to use those to their fullest extent. And, like, really only using shortcuts where something that I need to do is impossible otherwise. And, you know, like, so a few examples of those that I have in shortcuts right now are very basic rich text operations that have keyboard shortcuts on the Mac, like adding a hyperlink to text, which is just Command K in like every situation on a Mac. Like, you can't do that in Mail on iOS or in Notes. And like, those are two places where hyperlinked text works perfectly well, but you can't create it. So I have one shortcut that's just like copy a URL to your clipboard, hit the shortcut, type the phrase you want hyperlinked, and then the shortcut makes it into a rich text link and you can paste it in. That should not be a shortcut. That should be a system formatting setting, just like bolding or italics should be. And then I have one to convert from Markdown to rich text and rich text back to Markdown. I grant you that that's fairly advanced, but I also have text editor apps that can do that. And so like, I don't actually need shortcuts to do that. And okay, maybe that's the one exception. Two of them, which are work both, I think, Vitici shortcuts, are to pop out a Safari video, like a video playing in a browser window as picture in picture, or take it to full screen when that's not possible. Like, the fact that that's not possible is a flaw in Safari. And like, because that's just how video works everywhere else on iOS. And if it's easy enough to write a shortcut to do it, why isn't it just built in? And then the rest of the ones that I have, I mean, there's a few OmniFocus things, which I'm not using anymore. We can talk about that too, because I've moved away from that third-party app. I may turn these into reminder shortcuts. We'll see. But it's just like templates for lists of, you know, packing lists and things like that. And then it's a bunch more shortcuts that I'm working on for Apple News and iTunes stuff that all of them don't work and aren't possible to fix. And that's all I've got. So like, I do think of myself as a power user in the sense that like, I have all of these needs out of my devices, but I only move beyond the feature set of made available to me out of the box begrudgingly. And I get certainly no pleasure out of like tweaking the thing to my heart's content, or like completely remaking my home screen with custom shortcut icons that I've spent hours fiddling with. Because like, to me, one of the most important things about icons on your home screen is that if you have notification badges, they show up on the app that has the badges, and the quick actions on the icon let you do things much faster. So like, why would you replace those with these like single purpose, you know, automated, like really long chains of actions when you can just use the thing as intended? That is still a power user attitude. I don't consider myself less of an iOS user than people who use shortcuts, but I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people are doing it just because they can, and it maybe it gives them some pleasurable feeling of control over their devices. But like, I of all the things about an iPad that I want to teach my mom, shortcuts is not on the list at all. Like, I don't think that she will ever need it. Hi, Internet friends, it's John here. Internet Friends is brought to you by my work at Ablaze Interactions, where I solve communication problems for clients who work to repair our world. I can help with information architecture to transform your website, content strategy to tell the right story and reach the right audience, and writing and editing to find the authentic voice of your company or organization, your product, or your idea. Ablaze Interactions has consulted for world-renowned events, political candidates, law firms, nonprofits, and great apps on the App Store. Light up your ideas. Go to ablaze.co and let me know if you're interested in working together.
I also find myself just generally uninterested in this type of technology because I don't like talking to my phone. And a big part of this latest shortcuts update, or, you know, the latest group of updates, is the ability for you to talk to Siri and set Siri up with shortcuts. And I just am not the type of person who wants to do that. I don't want to talk to my phone in public. Even if I have AirPods on, I don't want to do it. And even if I had a HomePod, I wouldn't want to do it. That just sounds so uninteresting. I think I am much quicker at pulling up something with my thumb and, you know, tapping on things than I would ever be trying to communicate with a third-party robot to get that same task done. And yeah, it's almost like there is always a need to extend out the functionality of technology for a certain group of people and do things like quote unquote their way. And another example of that I can think of in recent history is with the touch bar. The touch bar, not a lot of people liked it. And there is some definite problems with it. Do you have a touch bar Mac now? You certainly do, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the touch bar?
Yeah, I have
bar?
A 2017 MacBook Pro. I mean, I've turned off to the entire Mac since I got this thing. So like, I really don't. It's just one of many things that I don't like about the Mac at this point. There isn't a single thing that I do with the touch bar that wasn't faster before it existed.
Yes. So this is a piece of technology that people don't even necessarily like that much. Maybe could be improved quite a bit. And there is a third-party app called Better Touch Tool that lets you completely customize the touch bar. Have you ever used that?
I think I did get it, but I certainly never spent much time with it.
Right. And I did, and it was awesome. And it actually made it a lot better. And there were things that I could all of a sudden do that I couldn't have done before. And there were things that felt kind of clunky and weird that didn't feel clunky and weird anymore. But then it would crash. And the whole thing would break. Mm. And I try to click my custom, you know, volume down slider and the freaking touch bar itself would crash and, you know, go to blank. And then I would have to restart Better Touch Tool and all kinds of crazy stuff. And that experience of making something marginally better, but the overall experience being marginally worse is an experience that I think could also potentially be applied to shortcuts or any of the other things that we've talked about today. And I think that's the thing that makes me dislike it. I just was scrolling through my shortcuts and there are like 40, maybe that's an exaggeration, but maybe not, that I have installed that are completely broken either by iOS 13 or just over time.
Yeah.
But I'm like afraid to delete them in case they do start working. And then there's like, you know, it'll be something like download a YouTube video and I'll have like 7 different versions of that shortcut. And then sometimes one will work and then sometimes another will work and then sometimes none will work. And then I'll have to go into iOS 13 Safari and find a, you know, third party downloader site and just do it that way, which works 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm. That's how I do it.
Yeah. What is easier? Is the shortcut easier or is the weird third-party website easier? Well, it depends on what you mean by easier, right? Mm-hmm. Because clicking the share sheet and clicking the shortcut is definitely the better option, but I can't rely on it. And because I can't rely on it, I don't like it. And I think that's one of the things that made me like iOS and the iPhone and the iPad to begin with, is this completely crazy reliable system, even over Mac, which is in its own way way more reliable and easy to use than, say, a Windows computer. But it's like the amount of times where my iPhone has done something so weird and I've had no idea what to do would be under a dozen in all of my years of having an iPhone. And the worst case scenario is you turn your phone off and you turn it back on and everything's okay. Like, that is insanely amazing. And the mental weight that is freed up by just knowing that things work and that I can't get a weird virus on it, and that if something goes wrong, I can just delete it and never worry about it again, and that if something is glitching out and weird, that I can just restart it. Like, that's the kind of experience that I want from my technology, and that is not what you get with shortcuts or with any of these other types of technology that we talked about. And I would even go as far as to say, that's why I don't use Drafts, which is an app that you love that many, many people have told me to use over the years that, you know, feels like something that would be totally in my wheelhouse. But because it feels kind of clunky and because every once in a while I would try to do something and it wouldn't work right, I just abandon it completely. And I'm much happier to just write things in notes or wherever the heck I want to put stuff and not try to have this minimal gain with this now new mental burden of trying to remember how this clunky thing works. And I don't know what the future of shortcuts is, but I do agree with you that if all of the things that I want shortcuts to do just become a part of the base level operating system, that would be ideal for me.
Yeah. And I mean, I think they might say it is part of the base operating system now, but the thing is, if that's going to be the case, then like, have Siri build me the shortcut. Like, don't make me drag all of these things around and like change parameters all day in order to figure out how to make it work and then have it work 17% of the time. If you're gonna make features customizable in this way, like the whole thing needs to just work the way that other features do. Have like a conversation with Siri where Siri says, what do you want to do? And I say, I want to download a YouTube video. And it says, okay. And then it spends a few minutes looking at existing shortcuts for downloading YouTube videos and builds it for you. Like, if it worked like that, I would use it all day. But the fact that I have to learn this whole new maze of preferences and options in order to do it, and then like have it not work all the time, it's unacceptable. There's so many. I mean, at least it syncs, you know. Like, there's another kind of fragility that I was thinking of that I think is like an earlier analog to this shortcuts obsession. You were talking about theming of desktop computers. The category of thing that jumped to mind to me as like something that people were tweaking all along as I was using Macs that I never was interested in for a second is things like Alfred and Launch Bar and Quicksilver and like like custom launchers, like shortcut
Hazel.
Yeah, those things. Like things that you like come up with your own custom key bindings and you have this like whole heads up display on top of your Mac system to do all your stuff for you as fast as possible. I was never ever interested in anything like that. And the number one reason was that when I had to move systems, I would have to set it all up all over again. And like even the few little tweaks and customizations that I did at any point on my Mac, like when my Mac was my only thing and I felt like I might as well just push it to the limit of what I wanted to do. When I got a new Mac and that thing didn't work anymore, I just almost always just left it behind because it was too much of a pain to migrate it over. And like, maybe it all works and syncs in Dropbox folders now or something, but it's still just so fragile. And like the fact that everything on my iPad and my iPhone can just be effortlessly transferred to a new device and I never have to set it up again, that's how I want it to work. And I'm not trying to come up with like short-term gains in efficiency for, you know, the life of one device that I then have to completely rebuild later. Like, and I know shortcut syncs, but like we've been saying, it breaks between OS releases, like it, even on the same phone. It's too much of a fragile like edge case thing to rely on. And I mean, to me, and this is, we differ slightly here, but this is the same kind of thinking that's led me to stop using betas. And like, I have never for a second regretted that decision this year. And like iOS 13.1.2 is still garbage. So like, I can only imagine what your summer felt like on a day-to-day basis. But like that, you know, I mean, that's another aspect of like feeling like I've demoted myself from being someone who tried the new bits as soon as possible to staying the hell away from them. But like, that's not, it's actually the opposite of that to me. To me, what I'm doing is I'm so like comfortable using my computer the way that I want it to, that I don't want to interfere with it by introducing uncertainty. And that all of this stuff, like anything I have to build myself, introduces a ton of uncertainty. And anything that just like pushes what's, you know, delivered to me by Apple to the edge of what it's capable of just like fails so often. And I just think I'm past that now. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but like to me, this stuff is completely suffused into everything I do all day long. And I just want it to work. I want to understand how it works. And, you know, magic variables are not something that I understand. Like I can understand them. Like if you show me a shortcut, I can figure out how it worked. But like, I don't want to have to think that hard in order to make my device do what I want it to do. If I can just thoughtlessly copy and paste something between two apps instead, you know?
Do you feel like that's the same reason why you've moved away from third-party apps as a whole?
Yeah, because, well, actually, that's not the only reason, but that is part of the reason. The moving away from third-party apps is definitely about wanting to be sure of how something works and like not wanting to have to go through a tutorial to figure out how to do something. Especially between apps, like if I'm using multiple apps to work on the same thing, and they work differently, like I don't want to have that cognitive overhead. That's part of it for sure. But at least half of my reason for moving away from third-party apps is also that they can't keep up. That as great as many of the independently developed iOS apps that I've used over the years are, like, all of them still lag behind what Apple's operating systems do for months at a time. And like that, it's been better and worse at various times, but like I had gotten used to accepting the fact that my task management app didn't work on the Apple Watch. Like, the device that I have with me all the time that's telling me what needs to happen next in every way, except that if I had a notification about a task, I had to go to a larger device to use it, and I couldn't manage those tasks or check them off or anything because the data was always out of sync. So I couldn't trust that third party to keep the thing updated in line with what Apple's delivering. Whereas, like, when Apple updates the operating system with new reminders capabilities, like, all the other apps know about it and it works right away. So it is kind of about the idiosyncrasies of like other design languages, but it's also just about the integration that comes from using the system's tools and not having to wait for some cash-strapped developer to catch up with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bummer. That's like a huge reason that I'm using Notes and not any third-party app at this point for note-taking. Yep. Because I committed myself to a half dozen amazing Notes apps that are not, it's not the developer's fault that they don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that the App Store ecosystem doesn't really allow you to have a third-party note-taking app that you can potentially create for a decade plus, which is what I want from the place I take my notes. And I know that there are a couple of third-party apps that many people are using right now, and they love them, and they probably have a few features that I would like. But I do know for sure that the Notes app that Apple makes on the iPhone is going to continue to exist for a very long time, and it's a guarantee that no one else can make me. And it also is free. And I'm not against paying $10 for a good app, but I mean, the experience, this is certainly in the good enough territory. And in fact, not just in the good enough territory, but in the, it's actually, it's reached the point where it's doing things that no one else can possibly do because of the integration it has, because Apple is the one that's making it. And so I know that that feeling of getting burned on apps that don't stay supported is something that's really challenging and something that has made me not want to use them as much over the years. And the problem is that the people who are most likely to use third-party apps and support third-party developers are also likely to be the ones that are consistently and continuously getting the new phones and the new devices as soon as possible, which, of course, the third-party developers can't always support in time. And so you're guaranteeing yourself a bad experience by, you know, committing yourself to apps that'll have black bars and the wrong formatted things and missing features and so on and so forth, when that is just never the case for the first party apps. And I know that that feeling of just wanting the experience to always work is why I've moved away from third party apps as a whole. And it's also why I have an iPhone and not an Android phone. If I was the type of person that wanted a super specific experience that was entirely made by me, then I would probably have an Android, right? But I have just no interest in that. I don't really care. Would I like the, as I've said many times on this show, the whatever the widgets page is on the phone and the homepage to be switched? I sure would. I would really like there to be live data looking at me every time that I turn my phone screen on and not just a grid of icons. But I don't care enough to do anything about it. And even if that grid of icons lives on for another couple of iterations of iOS, I am fine with it. and will continue using this device. And hey, I got some widgets on the home screen of my iPad, right? So that's a step in the right direction for me. But I will also say I am almost exclusively using first-party apps for those widgets because I don't I don't really trust third-party apps to be able to serve that kind of thing to me in that, you know, always live implementation, like a task manager or something like that, where I'm going to check a task off on my phone and then, oh, it's still sitting on my iPad home screen. Will it refresh itself? I can't really tell, you know, like that just doesn't feel good to me. And there is something there that I also feel about shortcuts, you know, encapsulated in that whole belief system.
Yeah. I mean, and it's because shortcuts just like talks to these back-end databases and data models that change out from under you. And so you have to rebuild your whole shortcut. Like, you know, forget like the data not syncing properly. Like the whole way your shortcut works might suddenly stop working and you have to completely rebuild it because the app updated. And it's just an unacceptable risk.
Hello, internet friends. It's Drew, and I want to tell you about Keyhouse. There's a quote from Kurt Vonnegut that I read, tucked away in an essay he wrote about the seasons, where he said that he thought that the idea of four seasons was a lie. Instead, we should have six. Fall doesn't move to winter, and winter doesn't move to spring. Instead, he thought the season should be like so. Summer, fall, locking, winter, unlocking, and spring. I believe there's a beautiful poetry to the idea that creation itself requires a time of unlocking before anything of substance can bloom. And perhaps you're listening to this message right now, stuck between what you're doing and what you want to do for the rest of your life, realizing that you might be in that cruel season of unlocking too. Find your own space for unlocking. Go to Keyhouse, KEYHOU.SE, and let's find the key. Another major use case in your life right now where this is all happening is the fact that you are potentially getting rid of your task manager completely and going to reminders, which kind of, I mean, last year certainly would have felt absolutely crazy.
Yep.
This year with the new additions to reminders feels less crazy, but still kind of crazy, especially after you've spent a long, long time caring about your task manager. And as we talked about last time, you are a task manager person where I struggle and, you know, sometimes forget to open my task manager for days. It is like the first and last thing you seem to do on the daily. And so it seems to be a huge part of the way that you work and live. So what's happening there with your switch to Apple's own reminders?
Well, it's no longer potential. I'll put it that way. I have uninstalled OmniFocus on all of my devices.
It's gone. It's not even
full time.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it's gone. I mean, my database is still there. I didn't delete my data.
Right.
But like, I don't have the app anymore and it's not notifying me of anything. And all of my stuff is going to be way overdue if I download it again. But I spent the first day on iOS 13.1 migrating projects over to the new reminders. And the test was basically, can I find a place for everything? One, can I find a place for everything? And two, can I recreate the you know, I guess the like repeat logic of ongoing things in the new reminders to an extent that is good enough to replace OmniFocus like repeating tasks. And I lost a few things, but I have found that I don't need those things. And I've gained many things because, like we've been talking about, integration with the system just like can't be beat. Like no other task manager can see into messages and know when you're texting a specific person and remind you to tell that person something. Like that is an unbelievably cool capability. And I've already used it to great effect. So the thing that I wasn't sure about was, are these four smart lists, as Apple calls them, today, scheduled, flagged, and all that float at the top, are they going to be enough of a filter for me to get a good view into what I have to do to replace the kinds of crazy custom perspectives I'd built in OmniFocus? And what I'm finding is that I actually had over-engineered the system. And I sort of knew that because I was getting notifications all day of just like, check this, check that, check this again, like clear this list. You know, like I had set up the system to nudge me all day long to maintain it in order to keep this like zen state where I could know what was going on all the time. And I in reminders, like, it's enough to just have a, I did create a weekly task called review that even uses a coffee cup emoji, which is the same icon that OmniFocus uses, to basically open the all smart list and scroll through the whole thing and see if there's anything that I'm missing and flag it if it's important. And then I added a task, the one other task from my sort of maintenance project from OmniFocus that I brought over is a weekly calendar review. So both of those things happen on Sunday. Review of reminders happens at 10 a.m. Review of calendar happens at 8 p.m. And I just look at my calendar for the week and make sure I know what's going on. And that's all there is to it. And then the one other concept I brought over from reminder, I mean, from OmniFocus, is that I made my default reminders list, because you can set in settings a default list. And that's what, when you tell Siri, remind me to do something, and you don't specify a list, or you use any other of a number of ways of capturing reminders from various places, it ends up on your default list. I named that list Inbox, which is an OmniFocus concept. So at the top of my list of reminders, I have a red list called Inbox. And if it has anything in it, I need to go in there and assign it to the right list. And that's all I brought over. And the rest of what I'm using is all stuff that's available right in the app for anybody who uses it for the first time. And I'm making heavy use of the today filter, because the ability to say something is due today without a specific time is really cool. And so I end up with a list of, I don't know, 6 or 7 things every day that are in today. I use the flagged perspective for everything else that I want to know about. So like things that are in flagged are like, I need to check flagged if it has stuff in there, but like by definition, it's not stuff that's on fire, so I don't have to know about it. It's just stuff I want to do, so I treat flag that way. And then scheduled has really admirably taken the place of the forecast perspective, because it starts with today and then it shows tomorrow and then it shows every day by date as you scroll down when something is due, and it gives you a pretty good look at what's ahead. And so combining all of that with the once a week review of the all section where it goes by list, that's what gives me my view into each project to see how projects are doing. And otherwise, I'm only going to these projects if I am specifically going in to work on those things. And I have a bunch of lists. And at the bottom, I have a folder called apps. And that's where I keep the drafts reminders list, which is a list that that drafts watches for things to show up and sucks them into drafts, which I use in various ways. And the one for grocery, the amazing app called Grocery, that basically just adds a bunch of smart filtering, like organization for grocery lists on top of a list that's just reminders in the background. So I have this apps folder at the bottom, and I really hope to fill that actually with more lists for more apps, because I hope more apps start building on top of reminders instead of just trying to reinvent the wheel. And then otherwise, it's just like a bunch of projects, just like an OmniFocus. And it's plenty. I mean, I have 91 reminders in according to the all tab. And that sounds like a lot, but they're broken up into very sensible lists. And some of them are shared. I have a shared list with my wife that has like all the chores and stuff. It's really nice to have those shared. And like, this is the perfect example. It's like OmniFocus said over a year ago that they were going to build sharing of projects and tasks with other OmniFocus users. And that was like unprecedented. It was a huge, that would be a huge change to OmniFocus and how it works. And I, you know, at some point I convinced Arielle to use OmniFocus. So she has it and she would be able to deal with shared lists in OmniFocus, but it's been over a year and they never shipped the feature. Mm-hmm. So like reminders has it. So I'm using it and it's perfect. I have a few other lists that I've shared with her. Like I have a separate list for car stuff and that's shared with her too. And you know, we've never been that organized about like where all the like get the oil changed type of stuff goes. And the fact that two of us and you know, especially now it's like make the baby's lunch for daycare tomorrow. Like, thank God both of us get that notification. And if one of us does it and doesn't we don't have to tell each other that we did it. We just check it off and it's not there anymore. So, you know, Reminders works exactly the way you would want it to in a shared iCloud family. And that's perfect. I mean, it doesn't have to actually have to be in your family. You can share it with anyone. But I'm definitely finding that it's powerful enough to work as a task manager. And I'm happy to give up a lot of the complexity in exchange for the integration and the better functionality. So yeah, I plan to write about this, but like that's the overview. It's definitely, definitely working and I have no regrets at all.
Is this all an indication of the fact that we're in a pretty good time period of being a computer person? You know, like I recall when I had to have a Windows phone that there was just absolutely no way that it could ever do all of the things that I wanted it to do. And there was also absolutely no way that stock opening it up, it would like work in a way that I could actually handle it for long. And I remember in the early days of the iPhone, I feel like an example of that was all of the dialer apps and like the contacts apps.
Oh, yeah.
How there were all of these different people who were creating alternatives to the phone app, right? And like there was one that was by that Helvetica company.
Yeah, Dialvetica.
Dialvetica, yeah. If that rings any bells to anybody, you have been using an iPhone for as long as I have, which is a very long time, which is a weird thing to say, but it's been that long. You know, this is an old system at this point. And yeah. The idea of installing a third-party dialer app is ludicrous in 2019. There's just no way that I would ever do that. The iPhone phone app is perfect. There's nothing about it that I would want to change. And even if there was something that I would slightly prefer, like an aesthetic change or something, there is no way that I would ever be convinced that it was worthwhile to use that as opposed to just the phone app. And that has been the ceaseless progression of iOS over the last 10 years, isn't it? Is the old Steve Jobs phrase, "it just works," being repeatedly iterated on until all of the apps that Apple could possibly create themselves are so good that there would never be a reason for you to use a third-party app. And I feel like we're just getting there in every aspect of life. And for those very specific niche use cases where you want to do it your own way, that is why something like Shortcuts exists. But for you and I and the majority of the world, there just is so little reason or rationale to ever use those things over just the quote unquote normal way.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the fact that Reminders can do all this stuff is just amazing. And like for this to be the built-in app, like have you seen what Microsoft To Do does lately? Like they're Microsoft is just making a complete mess. They bought Wunderlist, right, which was one of the most beloved task managers in the world. They've ruined it. They're killing it. The founder wants to buy it back from them, and they've got this new Microsoft To Do app, and it looks like crap. And Google's is terrible too.
What is Google's? Is that Google Keep still?
Oh, that's more like Notes, but there's like something called Google Tasks. Oh. I don't even remember what it's called. Okay. It's just like the most basic checklist you could possibly think of. And now I should be clear, like Apple set the standard. Apple's Reminders app was unbelievably basic until a week ago. But the fact that they've stepped it up to this level, like it just shows an incredible amount of like compassion for the kind of stuff their users need to do all day. Notes is the other great example. Notes got this same treatment a few years back, but they've continued to push it forward. Like the fact that I just discovered this the other day, the sort options for folders and notes are now sticky. I think it might be like per device. Like it doesn't sync whatever you've chosen for that folder to all of your devices. But if you change a folder from sort by date edited, which is the default, to sort by date created, it will keep that folder to set to whatever you set it to, at least on that device. And so the fact that you can have a folder that's sorted by date created means that you can use notes for journaling now. Like you don't need a journaling app. You just create a folder called journal and you just start creating notes in there and it'll keep them in order and it will show the date and you can find things by date. And you can't browse by like a calendar view, but you can search. Like it's definitely going to do the job for me as for like digital journaling. Like that's built right in. I mean, that's not something Apple's advertising. They really should. I mean, I'm not sure they have their story totally straight about how to sell these kinds of features to people. they're talking about the fact that they've updated reminders, but like there's no like detailed walkthrough of what you can do with reminders like there is for an app like Things. You know, like you can see what Things is capable of and figure out if you want to use it. Reminders is just like, yeah, it's reminders. We have it on the phone.
But I think that's part of their way is understanding that for the most giant majority of iPhone users, they are going to use the smallest amount of features that is in reminders.
Yeah.
And then there is another group that's smaller that will use a few more, and then another group that's even smaller that will use a few more, and so on and so on and so on. And I have personally noticed my wife is like anti-technology, and I installed iOS 13 on her phone like while she was actively asking me not to do it, and I was like no, like I really promise, like I waited until 13.1 or 13.1.2 or whatever the heck it was. I was like, you will actually enjoy a couple of these features like dark mode, because she was complaining about, you know, bright screens at night while I was having OLED black mode at all times. So I wanted her to use it, but I have watched her get annoyed at the one little splash screen that Apple will add to notes or something, you know, like tutorials are things that people will just actively skip. They have no interest in looking at, here's how to use these 10 features before you can go on. It's actually, there might be a way to skip it and I just don't know it, but this is why I don't have Fantastical on my phone anymore, is because as somebody who always wipes my phone, I got so sick of the Fantastical tutorial.
The pull down and pull the other thing down. Yeah. Oh, it was awful.
It is so in love with its own gestures that it like wants you to do it and be amazed by it. And it is great the first time you do the tutorial, but the 11th time you do it is no fun at all. In any case, I just don't think that the way to sell people on a really good update to an app is by showing every single minute detail of the complexity that you've added. I think this type of thing needs to be discoverable in its own way, which is a problem, right? Like that's not always the case. It is sometimes challenging. And I've pointed out Apple iPhone features to people that they have had no idea have been on their phone for a long time, you know, just like Things in Notes, like, oh yeah, you can draw, you know, just things, very simple things like that. But in any case, I think that because so many people will use so few features, there's no real need to go above and beyond and explain every single thing to the general public.
Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking of like WWDC and the demo of reminders was cool. It was like, you know, yeah, we added stuff. It has more features. It has colors and icons now. But like, I didn't actually get the impression from that demo that it was actually gonna be good enough for me to use it. You know, like it just sort of looked like that looks like a good update for people who use reminders. And, you know, I will continue using OmniFocus. And it was not until I dug in that I actually got it. But the reason I'm thinking about that is that I'm comparing it to the shortcuts demos that they do, where it's like, that, you know, it's they get that just showing people the app does not give them an idea of what it can actually do or what it's actually for. So they say, for example, you could say, hey, Dingus, drive home. And it'll put on Van Halen, and it will text your wife, and it will you know, boil water in your tea kettle, and like, you know, like they actually do sort of like walk you through the ridiculous example, like over specific examples of what you can do with the thing. And I guess that makes for an okay demo of the fact that you have automation, but like that isn't appealing. It's too specific. And like what the story should be is about how the things that Apple has built in enable you to do the thing you want to do fluently, instead of giving you examples like that. And that is what I want to say to people about reminders and notes at this point, is like, you know, those things are aptly named. Like if you need to be reminded of things, you should use that app. And if you need to take notes, you should use this app. And it's just going to do it the way you want it to. And you don't have to program it to do it that way. I think what I'm saying is almost that the inclusion of shortcuts is almost like an admission of failure, that the operating system doesn't yet allow users to express everything fluently yet. And there are huge swaths of activity in there that it makes you learn a second and third language in order to figure out how to do, because you can't just do it the way that your intention leads you to want to do it. You have to use this ridiculous building block tool instead. And I would never for a second say I wish shortcuts wasn't available. You know, I'm thrilled that it's available, even in just for like the two things I need it for. I'm thrilled it's available. And I'm thrilled that people have the ability to build whatever crazy empires they want to build with it on top of what is built in if they're not satisfied. I feel the same way about it I feel about GarageBand. It's just that GarageBand happens to be an app that I use all the time. But like, if somebody wants to compose elaborate symphonies of automation on their iPad, power to them. But, you know, I don't think they would necessarily think to do something like that if the computer were a more natural expression of what they were trying to do with their tools.
I don't know. I have a hard time with the idea that shortcuts is like an admission that everything doesn't work exactly how it's supposed to. I think that the way that I feel about it, and even this might be a reduction of what's really happening, but I feel as if shortcuts is an example of an older type of computing that will exist for a long time. And things like reminders and notes, and specifically features like the looking at who you're texting and, you know, telling you something immediately. That is a look into a future type of computing. And I think that you and I are the type of people who are totally fascinated by that. You know, that's what I want. I want everything to be so seamless and perfect that we were talking about this, I think, off air, right? I want an AR app that lets me pin a note to a tree and like go look at a task list on my daily walk, because that just seems cool to me. Like, is that perfectly functional? I don't know, but it's rad and it's exactly what I want. And that sounds like something that the future will provide me if I ask it to. But, you know, I have no interest in going and setting up a bunch of things and creating a shortcut and doing this and doing that. Like, it feels like a different type of person, a different type of computing system entirely that is rooted in an older system like Automator. Like, isn't that what everybody said when shortcuts came out? Is, oh, this is like Automator for iOS. And Automator was something I never touched once. I've never touched Automator because it feels weird and scary to me, to be honest. And, you know, shortcuts seems way more approachable than Automator is. I could be wrong about that, but that was the impression that it gave me.
Pretty much the same, actually.
Well, it feels, there is something about maybe even just being able to touch it, you know, and like it telling you things specifically and giving you examples and having a gallery with friendly faces on it. Like, there were things about shortcuts that made me feel like, oh, okay, I can like do this and it's not going to break something. But it's rooted in that older style that never interested me even when it was new. And so because of that, I just think that I'm not the right person for it. And when things come that feel seamless, I'm willing to sacrifice a few key features to have that new seamless first party experience. And that's the type of person that I am. And I think that over time, there's no doubt about it in my mind that everyone will become that type of person, right? I mean, if you could just look at your phone and it would know that you want to download a YouTube video and it would go out of its way to do it for you. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there is a future that is so much better than any shortcut could ever possibly be if the phone becomes so good at predicting your needs or so fully fleshed out without getting too clunky. And like, no one would ever say, oh, I don't want it to do it for me. I mean, actually, I was about to say, no one would say, I don't want it to do it for me. I want to do it myself. I think there probably are those types of people that will always want that type of thing. But for the majority, a system that can predict what you need is always going to be better than a system that requires you to do labor to make that thing happen. And we're just in that middle ground right now where It's getting there. It's getting good enough. It's getting to the point where the first party apps and the systems that Apple gives you when you just open the phone for the first time are as good as the system that in 2012 I was spending. I remember getting a new iPhone at the Apple store and thinking, I can't leave until I download like 9 third-party apps. Like, my phone doesn't feel functional until I get all of these apps downloaded on this Wi-Fi and logged in. There's no way that I'm going to just leave right now without those things on my phone. And this newest phone I installed from scratch. I just had a, you know, new phone. And I didn't install a third-party app for like a good while. I had to go run some errands and I thought, that's fine. And I didn't even install Twitter or anything for a while because it just felt like it wasn't that big of a deal, you know? Safari in its own is so good that you could actually get rid of a few apps because it just is fine. It's good enough now. And so that is the place that we're at in the history of iOS is almost there. And because we're almost there, I am just not really interested in looking back to the old ways of computing anymore.
Yeah. And almost there doesn't just mean like 90% there across the board. It means 100% there in 90% of the things.
Absolutely.
I really think so. Like I don't need any more functionality from Reminders yet. Like, if I get more, I'll be happy. But like, it's doing what I needed to do.
I have things on my phone just because I created a really detailed packing list a long time ago and I'm about to travel and I just didn't want to replicate it on Reminders. And that's the only reason it's installed.
I have the same exact thing. Like I had, like I said, there's in Shortcuts, there are these templates for packing lists. And I think I'm gonna do that for Reminders, and like, yeah, I'm gonna use Shortcuts, but the shortcut is just gonna be there so that I can say create a packing list and it will create it. And like, that feels, you know, like it feels like I'm just doing a little bit of a, I mean, it's a shortcut, I'm cutting a corner around something that doesn't exist yet, but like, I have every confidence that it will. I mean, the thing that you were saying about Automator versus Shortcuts, like the thing that feels fundamentally the same about those two tools to me is that you open it and it's like, oh cool, I don't have to know how to program. I can just drag and drop little pieces into a line and you do the first piece and the second piece and the third piece, and then at the end of the chain of things, once you press go, it will have done all of that stuff for me automatically. And then you get 3/4 of the way done building it, and it's like, okay, you're almost done. Now write a script to finish the job, and the script will execute every time. And it's like, oh, suddenly I have to program in order to finish it. Like, I was completely deceived. And like, that's true of Shortcuts. It's not just like, that's definitely, Automator is basically for like turning Apple script into a nice UI, but in Shortcuts, like you definitely have to do that kind of stuff too, especially if you're dealing with data from the web or whatever. And like, that's just not the promise that Apple is trying to push us towards. The promise is when you say create my packing list, that Siri remembers your packing list and puts it right in there. And Shortcuts is just the stopgap because Siri can't figure out, can't intuit what you need, like you're saying, you can't predict. And it's, I don't even know if it's about predicting. It's just about listening. And like, Shortcuts is not listening. Shortcuts is listening the way that a dumb computer listens, which is it takes your exact instructions and follows them exactly. And if your exact instructions aren't perfectly accurate down to the ones and zeros, then it's going to fail. And what actual listening is charitably taking what somebody's saying and asking for and going the extra step of like trying to do the job they want you to do, not the job they're telling you to do. And like, I still think that 90% of the things I need my iOS devices to do, they are there for me that way and they can do them. And that's, it's a different feeling entirely from the one we had a few years ago, which I feel like was everything is a lot of the way there. It's good enough for me to carry this thing around all day, but like, I have to push it the remaining 15% of the way for everything I'm doing. Now it's just like, oh, I found an area where it can't do what I needed to do. And like, is it really worth spending 6 hours running the same shortcut over and over and over and over and over again until it works just to get that one little problem solved. For me, it's not. For me, I'll wait until next year or maybe the year after, and Apple will probably solve it for me.